Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now, Nina Burley, the national political correspondent at Newsweek and the author of The Fatal Gift of Beauty, The Trials of Amanda Knox, which was a New York Times bestseller. And her latest book just out is Golden Handcuffs, The Secret History of Trump's Women. Welcome to Background Briefing, Nina Burley.
Thank you, Ian.
Well, thank you, Nina. And as you may have noticed, I'm holding Rupert Murdoch almost as responsible as Trump himself for the atmosphere of hatred in this country, since the Fox News Network has been propagating such paranoia, particularly about the caravan coming north. And, of course, this fellow Bowers was influenced to shoot those innocent worshippers in the synagogue in Pittsburgh, because he was furious and blamed it all on a Jewish refugee or agency bringing in what he thought were the people that Trump referred to as rapists and murderers. But just to continue the vilification of Rupert Murdoch, which I think is a necessary act of social responsibility, I find it extraordinary that Rupert Murdoch is not just the major propagandist for Donald Trump and one of his main advisors, but he was the matchmaker who brought Ivanka and Jared Kushner together.
Yeah, well, Rupert Murdoch is, I think he at that time was kind of skeptical of Donald Trump. I don't think that he was his super fan, but surely Rupert Murdoch has participated in the commodification and branding of the female in the way that Donald Trump has in putting on, the types of women that he selects for his anchors, and the requirement at Fox News, the way they have to dress and look, and there have to be carbon cutouts of each other. And my book, Golden Handcuffs, explores the six women closest to Donald Trump: his mother, his grandmother, the three wives, and Ivanka. I got the motive to write it when I was standing in the New York Hilton at 3 a.m. on election night and watched him stroll onto the stage, followed by kind of a camp following of gazelles, these tall women with straightened hair and 4-inch heels, all with facial expressions limited to, two or three camera-ready looks. They are his, and I'm including his daughters-in-law in this, they are the Trump-branded women. And I stood there and I thought, wow, we've just in an hour gone from a country that was about to have as its emissary, the global face of American womanhood, being a working woman, or at least somebody who purported to be a working woman, and somebody who came up from law school and had a career of sorts, representing American women to the world, and a role model for our daughters. My 13-year-old daughter, who thought Hillary Clinton was going to be the first female president, was like Superwoman to her. Now suddenly, within an hour, literally, when that, 2 hours, when the election turned, we had the global face of American womanhood being Donald Trump's archaic Vegas showgirl / Hugh Hefner Playboy bunny ideal of the female. And it's plastic fantastic. It's commodified female. It works for advertising. It works for him. These women are set pieces for his business deals. And he is a lifetime ranker of hotness, or at least once he got into, after his first marriage collapsed, he became a ranker of female, professional ranker of female hotness, and a Pygmalion who liked to mold his females into branded women. That's what he was doing with Marla. That's what Melania is. That's what his daughter is. That's why he had the pageants. That's why he had the modeling agency. That is his relationship to women and to the female. And I think it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating to study it. I think it's fascinating to think about what it means that a lot of American women are pretty fine with that. they voted for him, and they're pretty fine with women participating in that sort of transactional relationship. And you're in Los Angeles. I happen to be on the West Coast right now in Fresno, and I'm about to be in Los Angeles this afternoon for a week. You know, it is the epicenter of the entertainment industry. It is the epicenter of the industry that really does commodify females. The pornification of women starts here. But this man, our president, participated in that and been a leader of it at its crassest edge for decades. And it's fascinating that he is our president, and also that we don't actually, and we really don't talk very much anymore about what his presidency means for women, because as you have just finished discussing with your previous guest, there's so much other awful stuff going on in our society, guns, Nazis, that we have forgotten that, in fact, the election of Donald Trump was an epochal moment in the relationship of American women to society and to power. It was a stomp in the face to women who were thought that women were able to gain power on their own. And what the six women, well, the mother and the grandmother are a whole different story, and I can talk to you about them if you're interested. But the women in his life, in his generation and going forward, have accepted this kind of transactional situation, including his daughter, who will, if she survives the Mueller investigation, will definitely be in politics running for office.
And again, I'm speaking with Nina Burley, who's a national political correspondent at Newsweek, and her latest book just out is Golden Handcuffs, The Secret History of Trump's Women. But I find it rather bizarre that on the liberal side, Nina, a lot of liberals have this idea that Melania is some kind of prisoner. And your book, of course, Golden Handcuffs, makes that implication to some degree. But I think she's a total enabler. I don't believe for one minute. The other day she talked about the liberal media, you know, the left-wing media. And then Ivanka, I mean, right. And then Ivanka, she's the one who sold all those condos to gangsters and drug dealers down in Panama. I mean, she's as tough as cookie as Trump himself, isn't she?
Yes, she is his female extension. She is his greatest creation, an extension of himself, and he sees her as that. Yes, Melania is an enabler. Melania came from a basically very lower class Slavic family out in the Slavic forest. A shoe factory village is where she grew up, on the wrong side of the Iron Curtain, gazing across at the Western brands and the luxury that was perceived on their side as being rampant in the capitalist world, as did Ivana, his first wife, who actually he would never have gone to Russia and was very much eased into the Slavic world by her. But we could talk about her another time. Those women longed for the brands of the West and longed for the financial security and luxury, more than financial security, the attachment to the branded and the gilt and the glitz. And Melania got that when she hooked him and married him. And she was, her family, tiny little Slovenian family, came over. They got an apartment in Trump Tower. The sister got an apartment nearby. And for 15 years, she lived in this little bubble of her Slovenian family, cloistered in the tower, occasionally going down to shop at Gucci or take her son off to the school, but basically living in the Slovenian bubble that she had lived in, and very much cloistered, didn't want to have a lot of interaction with the outside world. And that's why when he first trotted her out in the campaign, when she finally was forced to speak, you realized, wow, she's been here for 20 years and she can barely speak English.
Right.
Now what you saw is this last interview, the interview that came out the week before my book came, the 2 days before my book came out, suddenly she came out and gave an interview. I'm sure that it had something to do with the fact that the subtitle of my book is The Secrets of Trump's Women. And, you know, she's a woman with secrets, and she didn't know what was going to be in this book. And she came out And all of a sudden, she could speak English better. And so I think that there has been, in the year that she's been sort of stepping in more into the first lady role, I think that there's something interesting going on with her. I think that that coat, the jacket that she wore, that everyone was so appalled by, that was a message to Ivanka and Donald. And there's some kind of, there's a kind of a triad there, or a power mm-hmm. game going on. And she was sending a message to Ivanka, because it was about Ivanka. Ivanka always talks about optics.
Right.
And I think that this is a woman she's on a global stage playing to a very small audience.
Well,
I
know that the KGB had a program for a long time where they'd scour the East Bloc and Ukraine and Russia to find the prettiest girls and find a way to get them to the West to
seduce. Honey traps.
Yeah, to seduce powerful Western businessmen and politicians. I don't know whether or not Melania is one of them, but Ivanka has a substantial file from the STB, the Czech communist. From the Czech. And also a KGB file, and she acted as Trump's translator when he went to Russia in 87 to build a Trump Tower. But he made a whole bunch of other secret trips to Russia, which I hope Mueller knows about.
And the Czech Republic.
Every summer the kids would go there. That's why they're all Slavophiles. But what's interesting is that the STB file on Ivana has gone missing.
Exactly. And there are files on her, but there was a file on her, specifically on her, and that one has disappeared. And that's interesting, because what happened after the wall fell is the Czechs immediately gathered up all of the Secret Service material and put it into a vault for future researchers. And I met with those researchers, and they pulled up what they had, and I had a translator go through, and that's where you get sort of these interesting informant reports on Ivana, in which the story of how they met is completely different. She meets Trump 2 years before their love story says they do. Lots of other little weird tidbits. She was going to translate for Raisa Gorbachev. She studied Russian for 11 years. Ivana. I mean, she's a fluent Russian speaker, but it's just, you know, I'm not going to say that she's the James Bond girl villain in the story, or that Melania has that capacity, but clearly these women eased Donald Trump into the Slavic world. He married Ivana, and then he got very used to that life, that personality, whatever it is, the accent, the lifestyle, maybe the food of the, you know, goulash, or, you know, so he then falls for the, you know, the one that the beautiful Melania, who has exactly the same velvety accent that's straight out of a James Bond movie. It's fascinating to think about. There is no proof that she's one of those, that somebody, you know, that Putin can pick up the phone and talk to her. She doesn't speak Russian as far as I know, but it is interesting that these Eastern European women, you find them, these young women, married up with these guys like Ruffin, one of the Vegas magnates that Trump likes to party and hang out with, another desiccated, you know, I think he's in his 80s,
right.
goes to the pageant, the famous P-tape pageant in 2013. Ruffin was on that trip with him. He's married to someone even younger than Melania from one of the stands. One of the Russian countries, Soviet Union, and you know, that's they're all over now.
Right, along with Michael, and you can add to the list Michael Cohen, his fixer, who's now turned against him, and Paul Manafort, who's now testifying against him. They all have Ukrainian wives. So there's a pattern here, and, you know, just in the last minute, though, what's your sense of whether or not you mentioned? I just a frightening thought. That Ivanka may have a political career. I mean, surely.
Absolutely.
Aren't we going to be done with these people?
I'm going to say the book title again, because your listeners need to rewrite it. Golden Handcuffs, The Secret History of Trump's Women, is about the six women closest to Trump. And it explains a lot about Ivanka the daughter, who is the apotheosis of the Trump brand, the future of the Trump brand, and she, the reason she ditched her own little pin money brand, which they all have, making like exportable jewelry and makeup and so on and little dresses, she ditched that because, first of all, she has an $800 million fortune that she's sitting on with Kushner, but secondly, because she's burrowing in to the SBA and up on the Hill with the Republicans. She's raising money for them. She is in demand at these campaign rallies right now that they're having mm-hmm. before the midterms. And she absolutely has a political future ahead of her. She is the political brand future of the Trump family. And she thinks she is. It's been reported that she is. There's no doubt that she's a political player, unlike Melania, who's not interested in power. She's mm-hmm. interested in security. Ivanka wants power, and she knows how to strategize. That is, you will see that woman running for office.
Well, Nina Burley, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me, Ian.
And again, I've been speaking with Nina Burley, who's a national politics correspondent at Newsweek, the author of The Fatal Gift of Beauty, The Trials of Amanda Knox, which is a New York Times bestseller. And her latest book just out is Golden Handcuffs, The Secret History of Trump's Women. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at backgroundbriefing.org, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Took the kids to the park and disappeared by half past.